Okay.
We're in Pei Dalet Simen Ches, Sif Ches. We started last week. We're going to continue. We start. It's about, these are the first halachas that things that have bugs in them.
Yeah.
Okay. We read the beginning of the Mechaber last time. That's okay. And we're going to continue. We're talking about, okay, I'll start from the beginning. Kol mini perish darkon hasli, kashem b'chuborim, ho yechad shiv b'kaprim b'tochon, shem yesh b'kalas. You have to check fruits that may have bugs in them. If it's already been off the ground for 12 months, so only paris that have been mechubar are a problem. Once if it came on the should be okay. So it's been off 12 months, it can't last for 12 months. The bug would disintegrate after 12 months. We'll do that halacha later, but what that meant, this is what we have to listen. Now the Mechab said this. Still, you still have to take off all the bugs that are there and put them b'chutz. Oh yeah, gotta be afraid that they're on the outside of the pri, because those bugs, even though they came on b'tolosh, those bugs that are there are going to be awesome, because they'll crawl afterwards. Okay, now, either they crawled already, or they're going to crawl now that you have them. Okay, I guess they crawled already. Okay, now b'chutz. Even after you take off all the bugs that are on the outside of the fruit. You have to be choishish, but there are no bugs on the outside of the fruit, but there are bugs still on the inside. Those bugs that came on the tolosh might crawl out of the fruit once they're inside the water. They're going to crawl in the water. Or on the side of the kdera, on the outside of the fruit. All the kind of ways that would make the bug usher. So what you have to do is like this. He wants to cook the food after 12 months. So the bugs that came on b'tolosh is no problem. The only word, the bugs that came on b'mechubar are not a problem anymore, because it's been 12 months since they came off the ground. We're only worried about the bugs that came on b'tolosh. So perishes that may have become infested. You should put them into cold water, float them in cold water. The ones that are wormy and have holes in them, meaning they're hollow, yalu lamala, they'll go up, they'll float to the top. That is to say, the ones that have worms in them that came on b'tolosh will float to the top. Okay?
There's a hole in it. That's where the water comes in.
Maybe. I don't know. They'll float to the top. And that will get rid of, that gets rid of most of the bugs that came on b'tolosh. So you don't have to chosh the krula. And then afterwards, yitnim b'kderis mayim roiskam, put them into boiling water. So first you float them in cold water, or ambient water, and then you put them into boiling water, that way any bug that might be left in there will get killed. He can't crawl afterwards. Okay, you solve the problem, because he can't possibly crawl afterwards if you just put him into boiling water and you kill him. Okay, that's in the Mechaber. Hopefully we'll have time. We're going to read the Ramah today.
There's a strength to crawl into hot water.
Okay, so
unless you killed it.
Then there wouldn't be a chashash. If you really would have killed it, wouldn't be a chashash. So all the place can talk about, well, why don't we just use the hot water? If we're going to kill it for sure, it's because we're going to. I'll answer your question in a second. Okay. So that's what the Mechaber said. But hopefully we're going to get to see the Rama also in a second. Okay. So now the Mechaber at the beginning said you should check the fruits. He used that word like you should check the fruits. And I just wanted to point out, if you look in this halacha, the very first time he's telling you to check fruits, he's not telling you what most people would think is what you do when you check fruit, which is you pick it up and you look at it. Of course, visually looking, checking fruits is a way to check them. But the first halacha that we have here about checking fruits is an example of checking them through some other method. You float it in, you do this thing in cold water and in hot water, and there's a number of halachas all over the siman, sprinkled all through the siman, and Dr. Chu has plenty of all kinds of ideas, of different poskim's ideas of how to check or clean a vegetable and therefore make you allowed to eat it. I'm just pointing out that the word to check the vegetable, that by no means is limited to only checking it visually. Okay? That you might think that. When you say you have to check the vegetable, you would think that would mean to check visually. Here we are in the very first halacha telling you about how to check things. And it's not a visual check. It's through floating and boiling water, all kinds of tests like that. And I'm telling you, there's a couple of dakichuvas. If you want the Ramah comments, I'll tell you afterwards. Dakichuvas and the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch, and a bunch of cases in this whole siman are going to give all kinds of ways of checking that are not visual. Not just pick it up and look at it and be satisfied.
Is this external or is this going in internal else?
Some are for internal. In our case, we're looking for bugs that are in the fruit.
Well, maybe visual is not going to help you because they're not going to tell you when it's...
mask it, because you won't see inside the fruit.
You won't see inside the fruit, you won't see...
I'm masking. I'm just saying this, is that you shouldn't be... A person shouldn't get stuck and think. The only way to check things is by looking at them. And if you have to look on the inside, then you have to cut it open and Look at it like that. I'm just saying is that there are potentially, and not potentially, this, the place can give a million different examples of how to check things that don't have to require visual inspection. Okay. So what I, and the modern version of what I just said to you is, I'm going to hand it out to you afterwards so I won't distract you, is that the CRC, basically all hashkafas have similar ideas, but I'll tell you what we do. We have basically four ways of checking vegetables. Okay, this is how I break it up. Basically, the four ways of checking them. Okay, I'll give it to you quickly. Afterwards, I'm going to give you something that you, the stomach, have never seen before. Okay, a bunch of vegetables, celery, leeks, scallions, strawberries, and some dried fruits. We do taco with a visual inspection. Sometimes we do that. Before we do it, we take a certain area off that has the most bug. But basically, there's a group of vegetables that we do with visual inspection. We tell people, you check it by visually inspecting it. A number of them, the open head lettuces and herbs and cauliflower, we do with washing soapy water until we get clean water, and then we check some samples afterwards, and we're going to talk about that in a second. That's the Ramah. We're going to talk about that in a second. A third way we do is with, for certain vegetables, iceberg and cabbage and shiitake mushrooms, we remove certain parts that have the most bugs in them, certain parts that we decided are the worst, the dirtiest or the most infested, and then we just wash it off. And then there's a couple that have their own special methods, asparagus and some berries, have specialized ways of how we check those. Okay? And as you just heard, as I quickly ran through it, you'll read it afterwards, is most of them are not visual. Most of them are not by just picking it up and saying, do I see a fruit? Do I see a bug in this thing? Okay. Before we go on to the Rama, I just want to make another point, which is, until a generation ago, the way people, when they wanted to check vegetables without visually inspecting them, the common way that they did it was either by soaking it in vinegar or salt water. Okay? That was very common. Price can talk about it, but it was definitely a common thing that people did. They would wash it in vinegar, wash it in soap water, wash it in salt water, and that was part of their cleaning, as opposed to, and what happened was, I believe, is the one who changed that was Ravaya. Ravaya said he did many tests, and he spoke to experts, and et cetera, and he found that vinegar and salt water were great at killing bugs. They were very effective at killing bugs, but they didn't loosen the bugs from holding on to the fruits that they were onto. So they might kill bugs and even remove certain bugs, but they did not take off all the bugs off the fruit or off the vegetable. And therefore, he's the one who encouraged that people should switch from salt and vinegar to using soap. I don't even know if they had available they had enough soap, but he encouraged, and he's the one, I think, who made the changeover that nowadays most hashgachas would say wash something. When you need something to be washed with something to remove the bug, you use soapy water rather than salt water or vinegar. Okay, but it used to definitely be until way back, maybe a generation ago, everybody used salt water and vinegar. That was the common.
Is there any difference in halacha between eating a dead bug or a live bug?
No, there really isn't. I mean, a little bit if you have a berry. If you're really paying attention to what you get malchus for, you might get a different amount of malchus if it's live or dead. But basically, it's just as usher. But the idea was, the salt water took off some bugs. He tells himself, Rabbi, it takes off some bugs, and it kills all bugs, but it doesn't get off the other bugs that, well, even if they're dead, they still hold on. Those bugs are not being taken off unless you use soapy water. And in his sefer, it's a very interesting page. The page, he has like a diagram that explains to you how soap works, but it's all in English. But it's all in English, that page. And on the bottom, he has to translate it to Hebrew, because he must have taken it from something. That whole page is all in English. You know, it tells you the different ways how it works. Okay. Now, another thing Rogalski saw in this thing was that the methods that we use to get a vegetable clean do not have to be 100% effective. Okay? If you look in the Poskim, it's in the Primogodim here, but everyone's talking about it. These methods of floating the beans, floating the food, and then boiling the food are not going to be 100% effective to get rid of the bug. But what it's going to do is, it's going to get enough of the bugs away that it's going to make it mutter. Okay? We don't have to have it that there's not even a one chance in a million. We say we have no tolerance for bugs. Why would it become mutter? Because really the din doesn't have no tolerance for bugs. You can eat foods that have a possibility of bugs. Someone
said, and each fruit, if you know this fruit has bugs.
No. Yeah, okay. When we started Halacha Ches, you missed it last time. When we started Halacha Ches, till Halacha Ches was food where we know that there's bugs in them. From Ches and on is food that may be infested. We don't know. You pick up a head of cabbage. We don't know if there's bugs inside of it. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't.
Then there was a Chazok and there
is. No.
There's a Cheska system, it's fruit.
Nahon. So that's why the Zaki Chuba says in Kuf Mem Dal, Sif Kuf Mem Dal says, if you have a food, you have a liquid that you know has bugs in it, The filter has to be so good that it's not possible for a bug to get through. It's impossible. No matter what, he couldn't get through. That's because there he knew he had a bug in it. But for regular halacha, things that just general, maybe they're infested. There's just a suffix. Then it's drabonot, and if you get the amount, the infestation level down to small enough, you don't have to worry about it. Someone came to me at shul today or yesterday, I forgot already, and says to me, his daughter opened up, yesterday I think it was, opened up an orange and there was a worm inside of it. Okay, that doesn't mean you have to check all oranges because one Meshuggah had a worm inside of it. We don't, there's a limit. We don't really have zero tolerance for bugs. I mean, we say that to people, but we don't really have zero tolerance because there's a certain amount that we can handle.
We have zero tolerance for bugs. We have tolerance on the fruit.
Okay, so yes, you're the one. Okay, so I guess that's what we mean when we say this. Okay, so David Golan. Okay, so now, if it's okay with you, we're going to start the Rambam. We're going to do the Rambam this time. I'm going to sort of lay you out an issue that there is to. That you have to consider, and in Ritzashem, next time we'll finish it off. Okay? So the Machaber said you have to check them, and he told you this special test with the floating water and the boiling water, the whole thing. Okay, now the Rambam says like this. V'loy mahani bam, in this halacha about checking vegetables, and in all the coming halachas about checking vegetables, it does not help in badak haroif. It doesn't help to check most of the vegetables that you have. Okay? You have a whole a pound of beans, it doesn't help to check 3/4 of the pound. El tzorach liftoi kulam. You have to check all of them. The havi miyut d'shchiach. Since this is infested to a level of miyut hamotzi, it's a common amount. We're going to talk about that in halacha. That's what that means. But it's enough that you're mechuyev to check it. So if you're mechuyev to check it, you're mechuyev to check everything. You're not enough to check some of them or even most of them. Even if you checked in most of them and they were clean, that's not good enough. And you're mechuyev to check every single thing.
Stuff that's commonly infested.
The din is you're not allowed to check some or most. You have to check all of it. The entire thing. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam comes from a Rashba. The Rashba says, it's a tribute to Rashba, and the Rashba says, the reason why this is true is he says, we check vegetables just like we check animals to see if they're trephas. When you check an animal, you have to check if it's a trepha for the common trephas. So he says, let's say you had 10 animals, you brought 10 animals in from the farm, and you shechted 6 of them. And 6 of them you shechted and you found that they had their lungs were clean. Would you say you don't want to check the other 4? You want to say, we checked 6 out of 10, so 6 out of 10 were clean, so they're all clean. We wouldn't say that. You say, you have to check all 10 of them. So too, if you bring in 10 heads of cabbage, and 6 of them are clean, you don't say, if 6 are clean, then all 10 of them are clean, and you have to check all 10 of them. That's what the Rashba says. So the Rama is saying, just like, it's a quote from the Rashba, that you have to check all the things. It doesn't even help to check roif. Okay? So now, I'm going to list you off 6 situations that I'm aware of, that people use something along the lines of sampling. And the question is going to be, is what we're doing, these 6 cases, I didn't say this year, see, there's all of them, but reputable people will tell you to do these different 6 things, and the question is, are they going to fit with what the Rambam says? The Rambam said, you can only check everyone, you can't check most of them, or some of them, for sure not some of them, but not even most of them, you have to check every single one.
Well, let's say you have a situation, you have 10 farms, and in 3 farms, you know if you check 6, then for sure the 10 will not have, right? And the presumption is in this matzah, whatever this one grew, right, there was no bugs. Certain farms have, certain farms don't. Certain crops have, certain crops don't. If you see this one don't have, then you know the other ones have not.
Okay,
the case of the
so the first...
If you have a farm, right, the behemoth that grow in a certain area,
I'm going to ask you to wait 1 second, okay? I'm going to ask you 1 second, okay? You are Baruch Hashem, not the first one to ask that question. We're going to get that question in a second, okay? No, really. Get to the front. Hold 1 second. Pause. I'm going to give you 6 cases, okay? The first one is almost exactly what David said, which is a company wants to give hashgacha on broccoli that it has no bugs in it. A truck pulls up, the truck's got 10,000 pounds of broccoli in it, they check a sample, they check a sample, the sample comes out clean, they say, fine, we'll take this batch. The sample doesn't come out clean, they reject it. Okay, so that's one example, our first example, of when they would use sampling. Number 2, a company makes...
Example you just gave. That means that they're not going to check the rest of it, or just
right.
Means that
right. They will not check the rest of it. They check a certain amount. I'm not saying names. They check a certain amount. Check a certain amount. After they get a certain amount, if they check X number and it's clean, they say this is a clean lot. They take the whole thing. No more checking afterwards. Done. Second is a company makes frozen herbs. Every day of the week they make frozen herbs. They chop. They take herbs, chop them up, and freeze them. And the hashgacha does it like this. They say take a sample from each lot, okay, from each day's productive space. However they break up the lot, take a sample from each one. If it comes at no bugs in X amount of samples, then they're happy and they certify that sample. So the hashgacha is get by lot letters. Each lot is either good or no good depending on how the samples came out. So again, another example, we're using a sample instead of checking. They don't check every one. Herbs have bugs in them, but they didn't check. They just checked samples. Third.
Are they checking?
Go ahead.
I dealt with this before. Are they just checking for bugs, or are they checking for parts of bugs?
Depends which Hashgacha you talk to. Depends. Okay. The third case.
What?
A company makes a greenhouse. Somebody builds a greenhouse, and they build it in a special way to make sure there should be no bugs in it. Okay? There are special ways to build it to avoid bugs and those things. As they're growing, the Rav HaMachshir is keeping an eye on it to make sure it grows right, and he samples every so often to make sure it's growing right. If the samples are to his satisfaction, he lets them sell it as kosher. If the samples don't come out right, then he sells it as treif. As so to speak, as treif. Not under the label of Hashgacha. Another example. Again, he's taking samples to decide if he should do it. Fourth, the yeshiva kitchen gets in a case of cabbage. Okay, they get a case of cabbage, has 10 cabbages in it. They check the first 3 cabbages. If they find no bugs in it, then they say, fine, we'll take all 10 cabbages. Okay? That's what, if we take, the whole case came in, we get 3 of them. Every one of these cases that I'm giving you is a case that is real. The people who actually do what I'm saying to you now. Right? Number 5. A restaurant wants to serve romaine lettuce. They wash, I mentioned this quickly beforehand, they wash romaine lettuce in soapy water till they get the water clean. And then, when they're finished, they check a couple of leaves. And if those leaves come out clean, they serve the lettuce. Again, they're not checking every piece of lettuce. They're checking a couple of pieces afterwards, and then they're selling it. And last is, you tell a consumer, there are people who will tell a consumer, if you want to eat cabbage, check the 3 outer leaves, and if the 3 outer leaves are clean, then you can eat the whole thing. Okay? Again, another example. So I gave you 6 examples of places where the person is not checking everything. He's checking some things. And the question is, so now what we have to understand is, the Rama said, you have to check everything. Rama says, you're not allowed to check even most of the things. In none of these cases was someone checking most of the things. He was checking samples. Forget about it. The Rama said you can't even check most of them. And here we are. I gave you 6 examples. Not everyone does this seriously, but we potentially do. Other people do these things. And so the question is that really proper or not? So, the person who is cited all over as the one who really questions what the Rama says is Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva about this Rama, and he says like this. He says, I don't understand what the Rashba is talking about. Because the Rashba says, if you check 6 animals, then the din is, if you check 6 animals, you can't use the other 4. 6 animals were not chafers, you can't have the other 4. He says, of course not. Because if one animal is healthy, what does it have to do with the next animal is healthy? We could have 6 animals that are healthy, and the next 4 could be deathly ill. What does 6 animals reflect on the other 4 that are there? This is what I was saying. But when I check vegetables, I went to a farm, and I saw that in this farm, I checked, the Rama says, most of the produce. And there was not a bug in most of the produce. So obviously, this is a clean farm. It reflects on something going on in this farm. What does it have to do with animals? When I check 6 animals, 6 could be healthy and 4 could not be healthy.
Well, doesn't it also have to do where the animals are coming from? For example, if you have animals coming, assumingly, in the Rama's time, they're coming from one place.
Yes.
So that farm is grass that they're eating instead of something that's healthy. So you assume these are healthy, these are healthy.
So a little bit, there is a certain amount,
today you get
it's a certain amount you gain from the fact that, they were raised in the same manner, they probably are similarly healthy. But whether one animal is healthy or not, is really one doesn't reflect on the next one. If one person's got the flu, the guy next door doesn't necessarily, they both live in Chicago, they're both eating the same food, but one guy's got the flu and one guy doesn't. But on vegetables, we all understand that. If this farmer is keeping his stuff cleaner, well, he didn't do one vegetable, the vegetables, it's not their own. So if I checked 60% of the vegetables and they were all clean. So doesn't that tell me that the other 40
is non-discriminatory where they go to?
Right. So what's going on here? So Shlomo Kluger first wants to say, he says,
where is this? In what?
It's in Tuf Tam Das, Sim Kuf Chav Gimel, 1, 2, 3. Easy to remember. And Madur Kamu, Kuf Chav Gimel. Okay. It's the second paragraph. The first paragraph is about a different child above. This is the second paragraph.
If you remember here, I don't remember where I heard it, read it, whatever, that there's cases where they check farms, and they'll find one section that's absolutely clean and the next section isn't tested.
Yes.
So wouldn't that impact on what you're saying?
Okay, so maybe we need to understand what is the farm. Maybe they'll say the inside of the farm was clean and the edges were dirty, were infested or something like that. But he's saying, look, if I check most of it, unless you tell me some special reason why not, I should assume that if I check, this is the farm, this table is the farm. I checked from there to here and I didn't find one bug. So I'm stumped, but that part is clean also. Okay, if I randomly check through the whole thing, and I'm not finding any bugs, there's no bugs here. So first he says, maybe the Rajput only meant it in cases where you didn't know if the produce all came from the same farm. Maybe that's what the Rashi was talking about. Maybe the Rashi meant is you have three heads of cabbage.
You shook and everything.
Right, so you pick two were clean, doesn't reflect on them, just like the animals. He says maybe the Rashi would be moida that if you knew they were all from the same farm, then it's okay. If you knew they were all from the same farm, then you're allowed to check Rav, and that would be good enough. That's what he wants to declare. And he says, so in which case, the Rajba and the Ramah are only being machmir in a very, very specific case. We have this random, you don't know where they came from. But Lamai says, he thinks that he's right. Rosh Hashanah Kukuk doesn't have any reason to think that he's wrong with what he says. But he says, but Lamai says, here's a limud in Kavod Chacham. The Rosh Hashanah Kukuk says, Lamai says, the Rajba and the Ramah don't say that. He says, come on, if you read the Rajba and the Ramah, you read this Ramah, did you think the Ramah was only talking about in one case of a certain farm like this? You bought it, you weren't sure which farm came from. He says, they said that you should be machmir, so I'm asking, I'm mavato taiti, and if they said that you can't check samples. He says, I'm only going to be making one case, which happened to be the case he was talking about. He says, in one of two cases, either if you have a situation where it's impossible to check everything, okay, I didn't understand why in his case that was true. It had something to do with the way they were using the potatoes. Okay, if you have a case where it's going to be impossible to check every single one, then we'll say in that case I'll be makel. He says they only said it in a regular case. So he says hobudol ha'isef, you could be makel in a case where it's impossible to check it, or if it's a case where usually this vegetable is clean, and one year you suspect that there might be infestation.
That's not what they were talking about.
Right, so they were talking about regular cases. If it was a case where it was impossible to check everyone, or it was a case where it's an unusual infestation, we're just checking for unusual, then I'll be makel. And therefore, in his case, he says, he has cases of potatoes they have a big pits of potatoes that they were of choshesh that year that there was bugs in them. So he says, if you check a couple of potatoes, and you could be makel. Check three potatoes, and you could eat the whole bin. If you knew it came from one farm, and it was... it's impossible to check all of them, then you're allowed, you can be makel.
If it's impossible to check the whole thing, then if it's only the Rabban and Yuthamotze, then it's mutter anyway.
That's for halacha test. Don't say that yet. That's halacha test. We'll talk about the halacha test, but that's true. That's true. You might be right about it.
So what did you say again? What's the reason he's minded to them?
Just because they said it. He said, I have no idea. He says, I don't know what it is. He said, but the Rajba, the Ramah said it. They're bigger than I am. I'm just masking. He says, he doesn't give any explanation for why it should be true. He says, in Sfar, it doesn't make sense like that. He says, but they said it. So he says, what I'm saying that they only meant in a certain case, it doesn't read into what they're saying. He says, I'm about to die. And if they said it, then I'm asking that. Except in one specific case, I say we should be makel, and that he's mark. So now, what Shlomo Kluger gave for us is, some of our cases may fit into what he said. Okay? It's not great, but it might fit in. For example, we get our truckload full of broccoli shows up, okay? So you could say that a truckload of broccoli is as impossible to check as a pit full of potatoes from Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger says you couldn't check this whole pit of potatoes. I'm not sure if it had to do with the way they were using them.
You think there's Sinach and Reb Shlomo Kluger?
If you ask...
Ramah says clear or not.
The answer is people.
Why can't the Ashkafas?
The answer is like this. For this week, we're going to say that they're being Sarmah from Shlomo Kluger. Okay. And if you ask them what they're doing, they'll tell you that they're Sarmah from Shlomo Kluger.
It's a famous
thing. If you come back next week. If you come back next week, you'll find out that I believe there's a much better answer to the question, okay? Which they would not tell you, okay? Which I think is a much better answer. But for this week, which is what they would say, Rav Shlomo Kluger says that in certain cases you could be Simon. So Rav Shlomo Kluger was a big un of. And he didn't want to argue on the Ramah, but we're good. Rav Shlomo Kluger said, I have to tell you, Rav Shlomo Kluger said, if it's impossible to check it, he would be moida. So they'll say, look, a whole truckload of broccoli is also impossible to check. Just like a whole truckload of potatoes. He had a whole pit of potatoes he couldn't check. Yes, what do you think?
Broccoli and potatoes are not in the same getter.
Because?
Because broccoli is known to quite often have an infestation.
And
potatoes are very, very seldom.
No. In his year, there was a problem with potatoes.
I'm saying, it's like if you talk to any rabbi that knows this stuff, at least as far as I know, if you tell him, I want to eat broccoli, he's going to tell you, you got to check it. Why do you have to check it? Because broccoli is known to have infestations.
Yes.
If you go up to a rabbi and say, I have some potatoes here. Potatoes don't have infestations. This, I know that this could potentially be a problem.
But not that it could be. That year, there was a problem with the potatoes.
Okay.
They knew that year, potatoes was like broccoli. That year, there was a bad crop. For whatever reason, they had infestation. The potato blight. I don't know. There was a problem with potatoes that year. And they were... So you could say that. You could maybe even say some of the other cases. Some of these other cases, maybe you'll say also, they say it qualifies, what Shlomo Kluger said, that if it's so hard to check it, it's such an amount and it's so hard to check it, maybe you could be Simon Shlomo Kluger to be making that case. Okay, now, in doing that, in being Simon to do the sefer, I'll just tell you that the Hashkachas have their all very sophisticated ideas of how much sampling you have to do. Okay, the sampling we've seen is the Ramah said you should check Roif. That he wasn't happy with. They have all kinds of sophisticated methods of doing it. Some of them do it with use their experience. Ravaya gives his ideas from based on experience how much you have to check. Others spoke to mathematicians. Others use there's something called Pascal's triangle. Another way of figuring it. There's all kinds of sophisticated methods of figuring out how many samples to do. But bottom line is that they're using some in all those six things that I told you. They're using some kind of a sampling of just forgetting Roif of the Ramah. Some kind of an amount. They take X amount of food out of it, and they decide if the whole thing is good. Okay, so some of the cases maybe we can get away with by using Shlomo Kluger. Others, to say in a restaurant, they have to check a whole head of romaine. Come on, you check three pieces. Why, it's so hard to check all 10 pieces. Well, that was like, that's like, you think that's what Shlomo Kluger's case, because it was impossible to check it. So we'll have to see, in Mirz Hashem, next time, another explanation. Really what's going to happen is, next time in Mirz Hashem, we're going to answer Shlomo Kluger's question. Okay, Shlomo Kluger gets a question. But he left off with a question. He didn't have an answer to it. By answering the question, that will help us give a different look at this whole thing. And then the male will understand when we could or cannot rely on sampling.